ಸ್ಥಿತ ತದ್ಗತೇನ ಮನಸಾ ಪಶ್ಯಂತಿ ಯಂ ಯೋಗಿನೋ ಯಸ್ಯಾಂತಂ ನ ವಿದುಸುರಾಸುರಗಣಾಃ ದೇವಾಯ ತಸ್ಮೈ ನಮಃ ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮನೇ ನಮಃ. As I said, in all these six chapters, the set of six chapters in the middle part of Bhagavad Gita, known as Madhyama Shatkam. In this entire Madhyama Shatkam, in all six chapters, the main subject matter discussed is Paramatma. So, Ishvara. The first three chapters, 7, 8, and 9, actually very beautifully, Bhagavan Swarupam was presented. What is Para Prakritihi, Apara Prakritihi? These Para, Apara Prakritis alone constitute Bhagavan. You can, in one sentence, you can say, what is Ishvara, what is Bhagavan? Para, Apara Prakritis put together is Ishvara. And these two Prakritis are inseparably one. And the manifestation of these two Para, Apara Prakritis alone is this whole Jagat. So, Bhagavan being the Para, Apara Prakritis, the intelligent and efficient material cause of the universe, Bhagavan is manifest as the universe, which means the universe is non-separate from Bhagavan. The Swarupam was very beautifully analyzed, discussed in 7th chapter, also in 8th chapter, also in 9th chapter, and in between also the little bit of Karma Yoga lifestyle, and mainly also commitment to Bhagavan, how Shraddha will get this wisdom, etc. We saw in three chapters. Now, in the 10th chapter, the 10th, 11th, Bhakti Yoga is going to be the 12th chapter. Here, mainly, Bhagavan's Swarupam was shown before, how if Bhagavan alone is in the form of two Prakritis, Para Prakriti is the intelligent cause, Apara Prakriti is the material cause, and these two causes are inseparable, true, only truth, and the whole universe is the manifestation of the only truth in the form of two causes. I mean, the whole universe is non-separate from Bhagavan, because never is the effect separate from cause. The effect is inseparable from the cause. Therefore, the whole universe is manifestation of Bhagavan, means universe is non-separate from Bhagavan. In fact, we need not go and search for Bhagavan anywhere else. Everything that we see here is Bhagavan. Not only what is seen is Bhagavan, the seeing is also Bhagavan. The seer, of course, is the Swarupam of the seer itself is Bhagavan Swarupam. Bhagavan is in the form of the Swarupam of the seer. The truth of the seer, there's no other seer. There's no seer other than Bhagavan. Absolutely. So the seeing is Bhagavan, the seen is also Bhagavan. The Triputi Bhedaha will be negated here. In the standpoint of Bhagavan, if you say, knower, known, knowledge, Bhedaha, difference, called Triputi Bhedaha, is negated from the standpoint of Bhagavan. So, Bhagavan as the Jagat Karanam, one of the methods used in Upanishad is to understand Paramatma, Parambrahma. One Prakriya used is Karanakarya Prakriya or Srishti Prakriya or Adhyarupapada Prakriya. We have these Prakriyas. But here, when Bhagavan is shown as the Karanam, Jagat Karanam, cause of the universe. What is the purpose of showing Bhagavan as the cause of the universe? Just to help us understand, everything is manifestation of that Bhagavan. And that Bhagavan alone is there, the Swarupam of the whole cosmos is non-different from the Swarupam of the individual. The Swarupam of the individual being pure consciousness, as we already discussed in first six chapters. Now the same consciousness obtaining as the Swarupa of the individual alone is in the form of existence enjoyed by the whole cosmos. We understand Jnanam being the Sat, Chit being the Sat in this universe. It is this Chit which is the Sat of the universe. It definitely is limitless in nature because there's no time also is Bhagavan. When I said time is Bhagavan, time, when this expression time is Bhagavan means time has no independent existence outside of Bhagavan. It's like saying, if you say wave is water, wave has no independent existence outside of the water. So, when you say time is Bhagavan, space is Bhagavan, the two important subtle factors you resolve in Bhagavan. There's no time, there's no space outside of Bhagavan. Then what about the rest of the things, all other forms, names and functions which exist within the realm of time and space are all Bhagavan. This is how we see. But what is that Bhagavan? What is that truth of time and space, truth of everything which exists within the realm of time and space? That truth, we say truth is in the form of existence of the whole cosmos. The existence is actually very consciousness. The existence of consciousness alone is in the form of existence of the universe. Your consciousness alone is in the form of existence of the entire objective universe, including one's own body, mind, sense complex. So to appreciate Bhagavan as Jagat Karanam, this chapter is called Vibhuti Yogaha. And look at everything as Bhagavan, then you can appreciate it as Bhagavan's glory, Vibhuti. Everything here is Bhagavan's Vibhuti. Then see, learning to understand the fact of Bhagavan being the whole, learning to appreciate everything as Bhagavan, any talent, any skill, any adorable thing, everything is Bhagavan's glory. If you are able to understand, then it will help neutralize, manage our emotions also. It also helps us have great reverence for everything in the world. Because we take things for granted. Nothing in the world is ordinary. Nothing in the world is something. Everything in this universe is highly significant. Every other life, life of an ant, life of a mosquito, life of a cockroach, every life is as significant as your life. Everything here is deserves reverence and respect. That is the attitude we should have, for which here the teaching begins. Do you remember where we stopped last class?
Got it, as we stopped at verse 5. We didn't have class last week, did we?
No, we didn't have.
Okay, verse 5, that's where we stopped.
Okay. 10th chapter. And Bhagavan's in the third verse. Yo ma majam, I'm reading from the third verse. Yo ma majam anadincha veti loka maheshwaram asammoodhas samartyeshu sarva paapaih pramuchyate. So Bhagavan makes it very clear, the benefit of understanding Bhagavan. What is the benefit? Why should I break my head to understand Bhagavan? That is said here, sarva paapaih pramuchyate. The person becomes liberated, freed from all sanchita agami karmas. Even he will be, Paradha will be like a dream for him. How, for a waker, how the dream is insignificant. Similarly, for a wise person, even the Paradha karma will be like a dream, insignificant. Therefore, he will be relieved completely from all papams. And among all the mortals, among all other human beings, he will be delusion-free person, and who understands Bhagavan's Swarupam being beginningless, birthless, endless. And Bhagavan being the true, as the truth, Bhagavan being the Lord of everything, one understands Bhagavan's Swarupam and Bhagavan as in the form of universe, such a person will be liberated from all papams, which we have seen elaborately in the last, previous class, whenever it was done. And the fourth and fifth we had to read together. I said, Buddhir Jnanamasam Mohaha Kshama Satyam Damashamaha Sukham Dukham Bhavo Bhavaha Bhayancha Bhayamevacha Ahimsa Samata Tushtihi Tapodanam Yasho Yashaha Bhavanti Bhava Bhutanam Mattayeva Prithagvidaha. So Bhagavan, he says here, everything originates from me. Mattaha Yeva Bhavanti. Bhavanti. What all do originate from Bhagavan? Prithagvidaha. So he says, Buddhihi, Jnanam, Asammohaha. Buddhihi, the intelligence one can appreciate in all the living beings at different levels of manifestation. Not only in human beings, of course, in human beings there's also Buddhihi in the form of free will, knowledge of right and wrong. That is the highest form of knowledge. Knowledge of one's own existence, all Buddhihi. Other living beings also, even to live their lives, knowledge is important. That intelligence, wherever we find that intelligence, jnanam, even knowledge of the objective universe, asamoha delusion, asamoha lack of delusion. Asammoha implies vivekaha. Absence of delusion is what? Asammoha, which is vivekaha, discriminative understanding. Lack of delusion. Absence of delusion is asammoha. Because sammoha means delusion. Then kshama, forbearance, tolerance, patience. Satyam, the truthfulness, the discipline of truthfulness in speech. Then damaha, even this discipline, the value of truthfulness doesn't have existence outside of Bhagavan. The subtle things Bhagavan is talking about now. Damaha, even the disciplines of sense organs, all organs. Shamaha, mastery over one's mind. It's a mental discipline. Sukham, dukkham, a pair of opposites, sukham, dukkham, which are not all pairs of opposites also. So pain, pleasure, loss, gain, etc. All pairs of opposites. Bhavaha, abhavaha. Bhavo, bhavaha. So bhavaha means even the origination is called bhavaha. And abhavaha, from being existent, ceasing to exist is what? Abhavaha. It's a death. So birth and death, bhavaha, abhavaha. The death is a change which happens, an incident. Again, birth is also another incident. All these things, where do they happen? They do not happen outside of Bhagavan. So bhavaha, abhavaha, bhayam, fear, abhayam, fearlessness. These two phenomena obtained in mental condition, mental disposition, fear and fearlessness. Ahimsa, again, non-hurting, non-violence, non-injury, ahimsa is a value. The most exalted of all the human values is ahimsa. See, today, this Veda Shastram always emphasized Ahimsa as the Paramaha Paramaha Dharmaha, Mokshaha Paramaha Purushartaha, but Dharmaha Ahimsa Paramaha Dharmaha. Okay, most exalted of all the values is Ahimsa, most exalted of all the ends is Mokshaha. So Ahimsa Mokshaha. What is the most exalted among all the values in Dharma? Ahimsa. What is the most exalted of the human pursuits? Mokshaha. Only if you follow Ahimsa, following Ahimsa is as good as following all other values. If we consciously, strictly follow the value of Ahimsa, not simply not eating non-vegetarian food, is also being conscious of what I do, what I speak, what I think. So I do not think of harming, hurting, wounding, you know, even offending the feelings. That is what Ahimsa. So if you are conscious of living a life of Ahimsa, then all other values will become strictly followed. You need not make effort to follow the truthfulness. If you are a person of Ahimsa, then truthfulness will be your value. Because you don't want to offend, don't want to hurt means, then all other values become strictly followed. That is why by following one value strictly, all other values followed. What is that value? Ahimsa. You know, very, very, it's not simply saying Ahimsa. Ahimsa is a very, very difficult. Of course, not eating non-vegetarian food is also Ahimsa. That's a different thing. It's a very grass level. But I'm very careful in what I'm saying, what I'm doing, what I'm thinking. Even in my thinking, I do not think of harm anybody. No, not often, not only human beings, even other living creatures. No, Ahimsavan Purushaha cannot harm, cause any pain, inflict any pain to anybody. Therefore, Ahimsa, if it is strictly followed, that person must be very, very conscious of what he is doing. Then naturally, effortlessly, all other values become followed. That is why Ahimsa is said to be the most exalted of all the values. Now speaking, following the values like truthfulness, not cheating, all those values also, ultimately for not hurting other person. There was Ahimsa. And where did that value come from? Again, all these values also have come from Bhagavan only. Ahimsa, samatha, equanimity, remaining always having the balanced mind, remaining equanimous in all situations, whatever the external situation is, that equanimity also is a phenomenon which is possible. It's also from Bhagavan. Tushtihi, satisfaction is a joy. But because all the sukham has come, we have to take it as satisfaction. Then tapaha. Tapaha is a very important word. The word tapaha has three different meanings in different contexts. In the context of karma yoga, tapaha can be taken as a purposeful infliction of discomfort upon oneself. Deliberate, purposeful infliction of discomfort upon oneself, such as Ekadashi Upavasaha, Shivratri, keeping awake. Ekadashi also, we keep awake. Like other, I'm giving two easy examples. Like it's all something it's a discomfort, but it's a purposeful, deliberate, purposeful infliction of discomfort upon one's own self. This tapas in the karma yoga context. What is tapas in the jnana yoga context? Tapas means focused Tapas is a highly disciplined commitment. Highly disciplined commitment with a focused attention without any mental preoccupation. In fact, that is called Shastra Vicharaha. When can you be completely without any mental preoccupation, with the commitment, the focus, attention, what can you do? It is not Shastram. That's why Shastra Vicharaha, inquiry into the teaching or subject matter of the Shastram, is said to be tapas in the Jnanakanda context. Otherwise, Shastram says even with the commitment to prepare one's mind for Jnanam, living strictly a worshipful, prayerful life of values, living a life of karma yoga itself is a tapas. People think karma yoga is very easy, not simply talking. Even living a life of karma yoga as it is enjoyed by the Shastram is also tapas. So tapas has this meanings. Anyway, so Bhagavan says tapas also as a discipline from me. Danam, again sharing and giving, that has come from Bhagavan. Yashaha, ayashaha, honor and dishonor, fame and ill-fame. So all these prithagvidaha, various, mean different dispositions. Prithagvidaha, different dispositions of the beings. Bhutanam prithagvidaha bhavaha. These different dispositions or various dispositions of all the beings. Bhavanti, kutaha bhavanti, mattaha eva bhavanti. Mattaha eva bhavanti means what? Bhagavan says, I am the cause of everything. They're all effects. They're all effects means none of these subtle phenomena which Bhagavan has enumerated here, all of them are Bhagavan. When some Bhagavan says everything is from me, you have to see it as what? They're all effects. Bhagavan is the cause. From the standpoint of these things which have come from Bhagavan, cause is Bhagavan. Therefore, they're non-separate from Bhagavan. They're all non-separate from Bhagavan. That is what, whenever you understand Bhagavan as the cause, immediately you should see the effect being non-separate from Bhagavan. That is the main teaching here. I think this also we started last time. We saw a bit. Therefore, when Bhagavan says these things, what does it actually mean? He has not elaborately said, like in Taittiriya Upanishad, his Srishti Prakriya is there. Different way of presenting a Srishti. Bhagavan need not say, the mountain has come from me, oceans have come from me, fire has come from me, space has come from me. He need not say everything enumerated. He need not enumerate everything. Just by presenting these, all these, bhutanam, prithagvidaha, bhavaha, these various, varied dispositions of human, of beings, bhutanam, of beings, all of them, because all these are for whom? Not for animals. All these of beings have originated from me. Mattaha eva bhavanti means this itself implies what? These are all Bhagavan means. You have to include the whole, right from time is from Bhagavan, space is from Bhagavan. Now all elements, air from Bhagavan, fire is from Bhagavan, water is from Bhagavan, earth is from Bhagavan, all the plants are from Bhagavan, all the elementals, living and non-living, all the elementals are Bhagavan. Their actions are Bhagavan. The results of actions are Bhagavan. The laws which govern results of actions are Bhagavan. The experience of results in of pairs of opposites, going through the experience of pairs of opposites, pain, pleasure, etc., all are Bhagavan. There's nothing which is not Bhagavan here. All that is here is only Bhagavan. That is why first, how do you understand? Everything has come into existence from Bhagavan. This God, we have to understand Adhyaropa Apavada Prakriya also here. First you say, everything has come into existence from Bhagavan. Then, if everything has come into existence from Bhagavan, what is this then? The whole universe is what? The whole universe, everything here is Bhagavan. Everything here is effect. If everything here is an effect, Bhagavan is the cause, everything here is effect. Then between Bhagavan and the universe, there is Karnakarya Sambandha, cause-effect relationship. Then afterwards, you see Bhagavan as the Karanam, Jagat as the Karyam. Jagat as the Karyam. Means everything is in Bhagavan. Everything has come into existence from Bhagavan. Therefore, everything is in Bhagavan. It's like saying ocean has come from water. Therefore, ocean is in the water. Second step. Therefore, we say everything cause and effect. Then afterwards, we say, if you see from the standpoint, if you see, unless the effect again, what is this effect? The whole effect is nothing but Bhagavan. Effect, the cause. When you reduce the whole effect into cause, like saying the pot is nothing but clay, when you say the pot is resolved in clay, because pot and the clay are not two different substances. There's only one substance called clay. The pot is what? There's no substance for pot. If you remove the clay, a substance of the clay, the word clay, and where is the substance for pot? There's no such a substance called pot minus clay. Therefore, pot is a non-substantial form and name. If you take an ornament, gold is substance, and then ornament is a non-substantial form and name. If you take a furniture, wood is a substance, furniture is non-substantial form and name. Similarly, we look at the whole Jagat as Bhagavan. Bhagavan is the substance. The whole Jagat is non-substantial form and name. Therefore, you cannot say Jagat is in Bhagavan. Now you have to say the Jagat is Bhagavan. All that is here is only Bhagavan. Sarvam Vishnumayam Jagat. That is why Bhagavan Vishnu is called Vishnu. Sarvam Vyapnoti iti Vishnu. Therefore, all that is here is Bhagavan. That is the Vishnu supposed to have. The Prakriya itself is very briefly, Shastram presents the Prakriya. Then ultimately, Shastram expects us to understand Bhagavan being manifest as the universe. The whole cosmos is Bhagavan. So first level, you start like this. Everything has come into existence from Bhagavan. Everything enjoys its existence in Bhagavan. And finally, you say what? Everything is Bhagavan. In fact, if you learn to see everything as Bhagavan, it is meditation. If you understand the fact of everything is Bhagavan, everything being Bhagavan, it is Jnanam. Got it? I like it. The very beautiful Swamiji's thing. If you learn to see everything as Bhagavan, being ignorant of Bhagavan, and it is Upasana. And you see everything is Bhagavan, the as is replaced by is, it is Jnanam. Amazing. This is the Vedic. I don't know, I don't have much time to talk to you this one, elaborate on this. We'll talk about it later some other time. What is why as and the is? What is Upasanam and what is Jnanam? Upasanam should lead to Jnanam. We'll see that. Anyway, this must be our vision. After reading this verse 4 and 5, this must be our understanding. Now I'm moving on to the next. Actually speaking, we talk about three causes. There's a material cause. There's an intelligent cause. There is an instrumental cause. So, upadana karanam, nimitta karanam, sahakari karanam also. All these three causes are Bhagavan. And then, really speaking, this morning I did a class that comes to my mind because same topic. Verses are, the Bhagavad Gita versus the Upanishad, that's the difference. Even, it only for the purpose of understanding, Shastram presents this cause-effect methodology, this method of analyzing the cosmos is presented in Bhagavad Gita in a simple way, as though Bhagavan is telling everything has come into existence from me. Bhagavan says, we actually, what it implies is, everything is Bhagavan. It is the fact we are supposed to arrive at it, finally. Actually, even, we cannot say, even Bhagavan is the cause. If we say, it's like statement, Bhagavan is the cause of everything. This statement should not be taken literally. Why it should be taken literally? Because the reason is given. It is like saying, it is only figurative expression. When Bhagavan is said to be the cause of everything, it should not be taken literally. It's a figurative expression. What does it mean? Suppose if I say, this person who is here, the person who is here is, I used the example this morning, lion. It was the same example. This person is a lion in this campus. This person is a lion in this campus. This statement, will you take it literally? Will you take it figuratively? You cannot take it literally. If you take it literally, what will happen? The man whom I'm showing, he's a human being. You take him as a lion, a wild animal. When I say he is a lion, you will take it figuratively. How? There are two aspects, two features. One is, what is a common feature between the person, common feature and uncommon feature. Similar feature, dissimilar feature. The common feature is called sadharmyam and uncommon feature is called vaidharmyam. Sadharmyam, vaidharmyam. What is a sadharmyam between the man and the lion? This man is a lion in this campus. When I say, what is a sadharmyam? Sadharmyam means lion is known for its majesty, very highly majestic, brave, strong. So, and it does not get afraid of anything. So this man also very brave and bold, strong person. Is not afraid of anything. So I mean the strength and the courage in the person. That is a similar feature, sadharmyam, between lion and this person. That's all. What's the vaidharmyam? Vaidharmyam is completely, he's another animal, four-legged, he's a human being. So which should be taken? We should take only the sadharmyam aspect of it. Then we understand this sentence figuratively. We don't take it literally. Similarly, when we say Bhagavan is the cause of the universe, we should take it literally or figuratively. It's a figurative expression. Which means, we should not take Bhagavan as the cause, because Bhagavan is essentially of the nature of consciousness existence. Jnanam, Jnanasurupavan. And the knowledge is of the nature of changelessness. We always learn consciousness is of the nature of changelessness. If Bhagavan is of the nature of changelessness, how can Bhagavan become the cause? Why? Cause means any cause to must have another cause. Anything which enjoys the status of being the cause must have another cause. If it has another cause, then it becomes an effect. And anything which is a cause undergoes a change to become an effect. There's no cause in the world which can become an effect without undergoing a change. Everything should undergo a change. So, the cause means savikaram. Anything which is a cause is of subject to modification. Only then it can become an effect. So without undergoing a change, how can something become a cause? Because Bhagavan is essentially of the nature of consciousness and which is of the nature of changelessness. How can you call Bhagavan cause? Therefore, that's why Bhagavan is said to be Vivarta Upadana Karanam. The only cause which does not undergo change is Bhagavan in the name of truth, Vivarta Upadana Karanam. Why? Because the Bhagavan as the truth does not have beginning. Because Bhagavan Swarupam being beginninglessness, there's no cause. Beginninglessness, timelessness is the nature of the truth. Because Bhagavan is timeless, therefore beginningless. Because beginningless, no causeless. Causeless means Bhagavan is the uncaused, causeless, cause of everything. Therefore, Bhagavan is said to be Vivarta Upadana Karanam. Again, a question comes, how can you say cause? Because without undergoing a change, how can Bhagavan become the cause? Really, you have to understand here. Bhagavan is the only substance. Bhagavan in the form of the truth is the only substance, the reference to the whole jagat. If I say pot, clay is the substance. Pot is just the non-substantial form and name. Wood is the substance. Table is the non-substantial form and name. Gold is the substance. Ornament is a non-substantial form and name. Like that, substance, every cause, any cause is the substance in every product. Like that, Bhagavan being the only absolute substance, the most abstract, subtlest, abstract substance, obtaining in him a pure knowledge, pure existence consciousness, Bhagavan is the cause. Sadharmyam. What is sadharmyam here? Sadharmyam is just as gold is any relative cause. Every other cause is relative cause. Any relative cause which undergoes a change, which is said to be parinami upadana karanam, is the substance of in the product. Similarly, with reference to the whole cosmos, Bhagavan in the form of the truth is the only absolute substance. In fact, Vedanta has the greatest glory of having declared this first fact first. What is that? The most abstract, subtlest, non-material consciousness is the cause of the material world. Non-material consciousness is the cause of the material world. Cause means, don't take it seriously, cause, substance. Which means you can reduce the entire material world as non-substantial form and name. Okay, this is the fact. So, any other relative cause, the vivarta parinami upadana karanam, which undergoes a change. And Bhagavan is both intelligent cause as well as the material cause. Anyway, so material cause means vivartha upadana karanam, which means we should not take it as a cause. Bhagavan being the only absolute substance of the substantive universe, the universe is non-substantial form and name minus Bhagavan of reality. Therefore, we look at Bhagavan as the cause of the universe. Otherwise, Bhagavan, and because he is of the nature of changelessness, therefore vartha upadana karanam. Otherwise, there's no such a cause in this world, which is vartha upadana karanam. The changeless cause is not there. Any cause has to undergo change to become an effect. This is extra information I want to tell you. Now, therefore, the whole universe is Bhagavan. The more you repeatedly think about it, now gradually you will develop reverence towards everything in this creation, because everything is Bhagavan. Okay, now we'll go to next verse. Now, how Bhagavan is everything is going to be elaborated a little, just for us to, just is more for upasana. Is upasana means what? When you see everything is Bhagavan, until the fact becomes true to understanding, when you're seeing everything as Bhagavan, it is upasanam, saguna upasanam itself. Maharshaya sapta purve chatvaro manavastatha madbhava manasa jataha yesham loka imah prajaha. Maharshaya sapta purve chatvaro manavastatha madbhava manasa jataha yesham loka imah prajaha. So he says, not only those subtle aspects, purve chatvaraha manavaha sapta maharshayaha, sapta maharshayaha, seven rishis, seven great seers, sapta maharshayaha, then chatvaraha manavaha tatha as well, chatvaraha four manavaha. Again, the manus, four manus. Manus means they are also sages only. And before them, first four manavaha, four sages. There are chatvaraha, purve chatvaraha. Before those seven rishis, there are four other rishis. Purve, then tatha as well, manavaha. Manavaha, we have 14 manvantaras. Manvantaram is a period of time. I think I'll talk to you about it separately in the class about what is manvantaram and manu. And we have 14 manvantarani, chaturdasha manvantarani. Therefore, in each manvantaram, the one person will be the leader. And those, the leaders of 14 manvantaras, they only rule the entire universe. The 14 manvantaras, especially in our, mostly our Puranic information, I'll tell you, there are 14 manus, the rulers of 14 manvantaras, rulers. They were like kings. Manavaha tatha, all of them, manasa jataha madbhavaha. Madbhavaha means what now? Who are also of my nature. So sapta rishayaha, again four before those seven rishis, tatha chatvaraha, chaturdasha, chatvaraha rishayaha, then manavaha tatha. Manavaha number is not mentioned. We have to add the 14 manus, the rulers of 14 manvantaras. All of them, they are all of my nature. What does it mean? They're all of my nature. Because they're all from me. See, if the chain is made of gold, chain will be of what nature? Gold only. Like the Bhagavan says, they're all of my nature. Mad bhavaha. Then, yesham, of whom? Of those people who are of my nature, which means who originated from me, yesham prajaha, and their progeny, yesham prajaha, whose progeny, whose children, whose offsprings later on became imaha, these imaha, imaha loke jataha, these people who are in the world born of my, all of them, manasaha, okay, manasa, born of my mind. What does it mean? Born of mind means what? They were all born of my mind means they all have come into existence from me. So, Saptarishiha, four rishis before them and 14 rulers known as 14 manus of 14 rulers of 14 manvantaras and their children, their progeny who became the citizens now, the peasant inhabitants of the world, all of them actually have come into existence from my mind means they have come into existence from me. How you create your dream in your mind as a waker when you fall asleep and in your own dream, you create your dream world. You the waker are the material cause. You the waker are the intelligent cause in your dream. You do not go out to create your dream world. So, what is the material for you? Your mind, and your mind is, you have the mind plus your vasanas. Your vasanas, which you have collected in your subconscious. Your vasanas plus your mind, you use and you create your own dream world. And you are the intelligent cause, material cause of your own world. Similarly, Bhagavan's mind is Maya. Bhagavan with his mind, and what is in the place of our vasanas? Bhagavan has our karma palam, prarabdha palam. Bhagavan using his own mind in the form of Maya, and Bhagavan's and our prarabdha karma palam, Bhagavan also created this universe. So what our, just as our dream is our human dream, a waker's dream, the waking universe is Bhagavan's dream. When you recognize yourself being non-separate from Bhagavan, when you see yourself in the highest order of reality, you can see this universe also is like dream only. Bhagavan has two things to use. One is his mind. Bhagavan's mind is Maya. And what else he need? Our prarabdha karma palam. Bhagavan did not create. Our prarabdha karma palam is actually responsible for Bhagavan has to involve himself with this creation. So Maya plus karma palam has become this universe, which is Maya looked upon as Bhagavan's mind. And dream world is what? That is your own mind plus vasanas. You create your own dream. You say manasa jataha means the whole universe. Now we are all in Bhagavan's dream. Okay? We are all in Bhagavan's dream, this is. When you recognize yourself being non-separate from Bhagavan, this world will become dream for you also. As long as you do not understand that you are in dream, you mistake it to be real and it is a deal. Once you recognize your Swarupam being non-different from Bhagavan, the standpoint of the highest order of reality, when you see this world will be dream for you, as good as the dream. That is why Manasa Jataha means what? They all have come into existence from Bhagavan, which means the whole Jagat is just as the waker is the maker and the material of his own dream. And when the dreamer has to wake up from sleep to see himself being the dreamer, the dream experience, the dreamt world being non-separate from himself. He has to wake up from sleep of ignorance. Similarly, when you wake up from sleep of ignorance, when you see yourself being non-separate from Bhagavan as the truth, and you can see then this waking universe also being mithya. Okay? This is another lesson. So Bhagavan says, Maharshay, all of them have come into existence from me. Maharshaya sapta purve chatvaro manavastatha madbhava manasa jataha yesham lokai maaf prajaha. Yetam vibhutim yogancha mamayo veti tatvataha. You want all other details, I can give you. But now, let us go ahead. Yetam vibhutim yogancha mamayo veti tatvataha sovikampyena yogena yujyatenatra samshayaha. Yetam vibhutim yogancha mamayo veti tatvataha sovikampena yogena yujyatenatra samshayah. Yetam vibhutim yogancha mamayo veti tatvataha sovikampena yogena yujyatenatra samshayah. Bhagavan says, yaha veti. Veti means knows. Yaha veti, the one who knows, he who knows. He knows what? He knows. How does he know? Yaha veti, one who knows. Yetam vibhutim yogancha. What mama vibhutim yaha veti. One who knows my vibhuti. Yaha mama vibhutim veti. Yaha mama yogam veti. Yogaha here means the power. Yogaha should be taken as here shakti. One who knows yaha mama vibhutim yogam cha veti. One who knows my glory and greatness. One who knows my glory and shakti power. How? Tattvataha. Not simply understanding. Tattvataha veti. One who understands in reality. One who understands. Exactly. Bhagavan's vibhuti and Bhagavan's glory, Bhagavan's power. Saha yujyate. Saha yujyate means what? He is endowed with. He becomes the one who is endowed with. He is fixed with. He is blessed. With what? He is blessed with avikampena yogena. The word yoga in the first line means power. The word yoga in the second line means knowledge. Avikampaha yogaha. Yogaha means he is blessed with the knowledge. He will have knowledge. And how will be his knowledge? Not shakeable knowledge. Avikampaha yogaha means he will be blessed with unshakable, unshakable, ascertained knowledge. Avikampena yogena sahayujyate. Atra na samshayaha. See, Bhagavan promises. Atra na samshayaha. There is no doubt in this. That is why it is very important to start the upasanam first. We must be able to see everything being Bhagavan. So one who is able to appreciate in reality how Bhagavan, what Bhagavan's glory is and what Bhagavan's power is, mama yogam yaha veti, mama vibhutim yaha veti, saha avikampena yogena yujyate. The one who is endowed with this, one who appreciates in reality my glory, my vibhuti and my power, that person, no doubt, he will be blessed with unshakable, ascertained vision. Avikampena yogena yujyate atrana samshayaha. So why does Bhagavan say this? Trust my own words, don't trust others' words. I am promising you myself in Bhagavad Gita, try to appreciate my vibhuti. Try to appreciate my shakti, my power. If we are not able to appreciate, make efforts to see how glorious Bhagavan is, how powerful Bhagavan is, what is Bhagavan's power, what is Bhagavan's shakti, what is Bhagavan's vibhuti. If you don't understand, try to understand and try to then understand in reality how Bhagavan's power is. If you understand that, it's enough. Then atra na samshayaha avikampena yogena yujyate. That person will be blessed with unshakable, ascertained knowledge. Okay. Etam vibhutim yogancha mamayo veti tattvatah sovikampena yogena yujyate natra samshayah. How can you see everything as Bhagavan's vibhuti? That becomes the next question. It's easy to say, if a person sees everything as Bhagavan's vibhuti, but if a person is able to appreciate Bhagavan's vibhuti, Bhagavan's power, that person will be blessed with avikampena yogena, avikampaha yogaha, blessed with unshakable knowledge. Means, how can I appreciate Bhagavan's vibhuti? That's why Bhagavan said, if you understand everything is from me, means what? Everything is me. Everything is from Bhagavan means all that is here is non-separate from Bhagavan. If pot is from clay, means pot is clay. This is what is appreciating Bhagavan's vibhuti. Okay? We're able to see everything as Bhagavan is appreciation of Bhagavan's vibhuti. When you're repeatedly, why do you say everything is from Bhagavan? Therefore, everything is Bhagavan. And when you appreciate it, repeatedly see everything as Bhagavan, one day it will become what? Is Bhagavan. That is called being blessed with avikampaha yogaha, unshakable knowledge, because of your constant appreciation of Bhagavan's glory and power. Aham sarvasya prabhavaha matta sarvam pravartate. Aham sarvasya prabhavaha. I'll take another 15 minutes and 12 minutes and stop. Aham sarvasya prabhavaha matta sarvam pravartate. Iti matva bhajante maam buddha bhava samanvitaha. Aham sarvasya prabhavaha matta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante maam buddha bhava samanvitaha. See, buddhaha. See, buddhaha means wise people. The wise people, bhava samanvitaha, they're wise people, they're endowed with the jnana bhaktihi. Bhava samanvitaha means those wise people who are also endowed with bhakti. Bhava means bhava samanvitaha means bhakti samanvitaha. Those are endowed with the jnana bhakti. Such wise people, how do they see? What? Mam bhajante. They always, mam bhajante, they worship me. Krishna says, wise people who are endowed with the devotion, what devotion? Devotion of knowledge, jnana bhakti. They are not even jignyasu bhaktas. Those who are endowed with the jnana bhakti, mean those who already attain the knowledge of the truth, those who see themselves being non-separate from Bhagavan, those who see Bhagavan as their own swarupam, such wise people who are endowed with the jnana bhakti, those people, bhava samanvitaha buddhaha mam bhajante, they also worship me. Because wise people need not worship. Why? Worship already culminates in jnanam. But now still they worship. What does it mean? How the worship of wise people is different from worship of other people. So the people, wise people who are endowed with the jnana bhakti, he means who are endowed with the jnanam, they also worship Bhagavan. How? They worship Bhagavan as the one, the source of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhavaha. They see Bhagavan as the source of everything. I am for them the source of everything. Sarvasya of everything. Prabhavaha. I am the only absolute origin, the source, origination of everything. Bhagavan tells us that I am the source, I am the origin, I am the origination, I am the absolute source of origination of everything here. For those people, you know, who have the vision of me already, mattaha sarvam pravartate, everything continues to exist in me. Everything originates from me. Everything continues to exist in me alone. Mattaha sarvam pravartate. Iti matva, knowing this fact very well, knowing this fact very well, Bhagavan is the only absolute source of everything. Bhagavan, everything continues to exist also in Bhagavan only. Having this knowledge very clearly, the wise people who are endowed with the jnana bhakti, mam bhajante, they worship me. What does it mean? Seeing Bhagavan as everything is the highest form of devotion. Seeing everything as Bhagavan is the highest form of devotion. As long as you see yourself separate from Bhagavan, it's okay. Still nice bhakti, no problem. But still, when you see yourself being non-separate from Bhagavan, you have already given resolved, you have given yourself to Bhagavan. You are no more there for you. For a wise person, there's no more I. All that is, there's only Bhagavan means, I am not even here. All that is what is offering oneself to Bhagavan. Such a bhakti. And still, they worship Bhagavan as what? They see Bhagavan as everything. That is why for them, everything, Bhagavan is the only origin of everything. everything continues to exist in Bhagavan, therefore everything is Bhagavan. This is how the wise people with the wisdom, they appreciate Bhagavan, they worship Bhagavan. So Bhagavan is a hinting. You also become wise. You also learn to appreciate me in that way. Aham sarvasya prabhavaha mattas sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante maam. Buddha bhava samanvitaha. So what is the benefit of worshipping Bhagavan as the one from whom everything originates? It is the Bhagavan, you know, again continue to exist in Bhagavan. By repeatedly appreciating this, you can see everyone, a person can see one's own uncontrollable emotions also as Bhagavan. And gradually, the more you appreciate it, the more you'll be able to handle them also. Because always bhakti begins how? In upasanam. See, in our Vedic tradition, bhakti is a upasanam. So whether you do manasam karma, even otherwise, when you do anything for Bhagavan, it becomes upasanam. So we'll start your bhakti worshipping Bhagavan in one given form as a symbol. Ekarupa bhaktihi. What is ekarupa bhaktihi? You worship the anekarupa Bhagavan, sarvarupa Bhagavan, visvarupa Bhagavan in one form. Is ekarupa bhaktihi. Which means that one rupam becomes alambanam, symbol for Bhagavan the whole. Ekarupa bhaktihi. What happens? Every day invoking Bhagavan in that one form, for you, that one form becomes Bhagavan. And gradually, when you understand, this ekarupa bhaktihi is shifted to anekarupa bhaktihi. What anekarupa bhaktihi? You start seeing the whole universe as Bhagavan. Is visvarupa bhaktihi. Is a growth. So ekarupa bhaktihi, only the form which is sitting in front of me alone is Bhagavan, means a problem. The form which is sitting in front of me is Bhagavan, but Bhagavan is not this form alone. That must be understanding. You should go to Vishwarupa Bhaktihi. And Vishwarupa Bhaktihi should culminate in Arupa Bhaktihi. Arupa Bhaktihi. Okay, ekarupa bhaktitaha visvarupa bhaktihi, visvarupa bhaktitaha arupa bhaktihi. Finally, you have to see all the T-series is Bhagavan, but this Bhagavan who alone is in the form of this universe is essentially of the nature of pure knowledge existence, which is of its formless. The Bhagavan who alone is in the form of the whole cosmos, Vishwarupa Bhagavan, is essentially formless, abstract existence consciousness. It is what? That vision is there, that is Arupa Bhaktihi. So this should gradually, bhakti should be, what now, shifted from ekarupat vishwarupam vishwarupa bhaktitaha arupa bhakti. When you arrive at the arupa bhakti, how do you arrive at it? You see that vishwarupa Bhagavan alone, the truth of the whole cosmos alone, is there as the truth of an individual in your own mind. Then arupa bhakti. So arupa bhakti does not come overnight, which is the culmination of bhakti, which is jnana bhakti. For that bhakti, first of all, you must be able to appreciate all the things here is Bhagavan. Nothing which is not Bhagavan. This is Vishwarupa bhakti. And what is this Bhagavan who alone in this, in the form of the whole cosmos? When you want to know, and that understand as your own Swarupam, that is Arupa Bhaktihi. Discovery of the truth of the whole cosmos, which is Bhagavan, as the truth obtaining in your own mind, it becomes Atma Jnanam, Brahma Jnanam, which is Arupa Bhaktihi. Arupa Bhagavat Swarupa Jnanam is what? Arupa Bhaktihi. Knowledge is bhakti, devotion there. So, as I have another class, I have to go also. So, I'm going to stop the class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Rubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.